I'd just like to say I'm very much appreciated the ministry of the last two speakers, and I would just like to share four instances of the phrase in the scriptures, the word of life, just in connection with what has been said already. Would like, first of all, to reference as a beginning comment, a well-known verse in Hebrews chapter 4. We all know it very, very well. Hebrews 4. The 12th verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the heart, thoughts and intents of the heart. And then I'd like to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, John chapter 6. In verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'd just like to make a couple of very brief comments on this. First of all, that in order to have those words of life, the disciples had to go to the source of them. The words of life were with the Lord Jesus. And I made reference to that first verse because we find that this book, the Word of God, it's a living book. It's a living book. And when we read the Word of God, what we should, as I really can't add to what Brother Bill's already said, to understand that is the very words of God Himself. And they need to operate in activity on our lives. And I say that to myself. And the disciples here, they could say, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so I would just like to now turn to the second instance of this expression in the Acts, Acts chapter 5. And here we have the angel of the Lord coming by night and giving a message. And it says there in verse 19 of Acts chapter 5, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So here they were told, they had heard the words of life, they were to speak the words of life to the people. It's been a real exercise for me lately, this in connection with speaking to my children, to fellow believers of the words of life. I cannot possibly emphasize enough the need to have daily Bible readings, those of you who have young families. The value of a daily Bible reading has eternal lasting value that we can't put a price on. Speak the words of life to your children. When we speak to one another, and I have failed so much in this, do we share the words of life with each other? It's not just a matter of getting up and speaking it from a place as I am here today. It's about in our one-on-one conversations Do we share Christ with one another, the very words that we have enjoyed from the source? So valuable to do that. We spend so much of our time speaking of politics and sports, work. How much more wonderful to speak the words of life. And so I'd like to go over to the first epistle of John. We get the third expression here. The very first verse, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Here we have the words of life have now been described here by the Apostle John as the word of life. They had become the person himself. And I say this as one who does not understand it very much, but the more precious the word of God, the words in this book become to us, the more it fuses, as it were, together with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the person. And here the Apostle John, he refers to the Lord Jesus, the one he had heard the words of life from. He refers to him as the word of life. And so I'd just like in closing to go to the fourth instance of that phrase that I've appreciated. There may be others that I have missed, but this one's in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And the 15th verse, we'll read from the 14th verse. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And here I've appreciated Paul's exhortation to these Philippians that they were in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and so are we. And they were to shine as lights in the world in that way. Where did the light, where did the shining of lights come from? I would like to suggest to you that had to do with the fact of holding forth the word of life. And I believe this answers very closely to what we have in the first epistle of John. It isn't just that they had the words of life, that they held forth the scriptures. I believe it's that. But the word of life, the person himself, is what gave rise to the light that made them shine in this world. And it's been a real exercise to me, because I believe as the Lord Jesus becomes more precious to our souls, and as we have the Word of God, as it were, hid in our hearts, there's a light that shines forth from within us that is a beautiful testimony to the world around us. And I believe that it would be all of our heart's desire here today to covet that we hold forth that word of life in such a way that we would shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. I'd just like to share those four instances of the word of life.